Will you pray with me this morning? Grant to us undivided hearts, O Lord, that we may both hear your word and act upon it. Amen. This morning we are continuing our sermon series based on our favorite Bible stories, stories that you have submitted, and this morning we have the story of the Good Samaritan. And it really is a favorite. It's a favorite of mine, and when I was looking at it again this week, I thought, why is that exactly a favorite of mine? Because the people that might represent me in that story, the priest, is the first one to pass by on the other side. So I'm not sure why I like this story, but we're going to talk about it this morning. The Levite also passes by on the other side, and the Levite would have been the person who was very educated and would have been that person, the person who was beaten up on the side of the road, would have been one of Jesus's peers, would have been a good Jewish person. And so the Levite would have been that person's neighbor by cultural standards. But the only person who stops to help is the Samaritan. And the Samaritan isn't the person's neighbor. And as Heidi said, in fact, the Samaritan would have been the sworn enemy of that Jewish man on the side of the road. That Samaritan would have been the person that they wouldn't let in their house, that they wouldn't speak to, that they would cross the road to stay away from, and that historically they had battled with. How interesting it is, then, that we name hospitals and counseling centers and shelters and nursing homes and churches and retreat centers and even a law, the Good Samaritan, after not just one who is an outsider, but one who is the enemy. So, what prompts the story of Jesus here, what prompts Jesus to tell this story of the man who was beaten up and the disinterested priest and the faithless Levite and the good Samaritan enemy, is the desire of a young lawyer for justification. He says to Jesus, wanting to justify himself, he says, "Who is my neighbor?" What he wanted to know was what it was going to take for him to inherit eternal life, which he knew. Jesus said to him, "You know this," and he said, "Yes. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself." When I was in college, my date and I had attended a concert in Birmingham, which is about 45 miles away from the main campus in Tuscaloosa. This is your Alabama history, geography lesson. So in order to get to the main highway that would take us from Birmingham to Tuscaloosa very late after the concert, we had to drive through one of those neighborhoods that your mother would say, "Don't drive through that neighborhood." Just as we were driving through, my date's car broke down in the middle of this neighborhood. We sat there, middle of the street, steam pouring out from under the hood of his bright red expensive sports car. This was before cell phones, remember. The only thing around us at that hour of the night was darkness, until from out of that darkness came three men. They were of a different race than we were, and you must remember this is the Deep South in the 70s. They were wearing kind of big gold chains and big rings, and underneath their polyester clothing, I was certain I could see the outline of handguns. My date got out of the car to face them, and in my fear, I did what any 19-year-old girl would do. I locked the doors. So, you know, locked my date out of the car, too. I don't think we ever went out after that. But these three men asked him what was wrong. They looked under the hood of the car. They took the thermometer. Is this right, Chuck? They took the thermometer off of something and said, "You'll be good to make it back to Tuscaloosa." And then they reminded us to be careful as we went. And then they gave us a phone number to call if we got stuck. Those men were our neighbors. We were the ones on the side of the road. They were willing to stop and help us in a place and at a time when, at the very least, we would have been considered the other, if not the enemy. Who is our neighbor? I think the hardest point of this story is that our neighbors are clearly the ones that we call enemy. It's too easy for me to say, oh, look, there's Mary, sweet Mary, she's my neighbor, because she is. And it's easy for me to make Mary my neighbor. That's not a difficult thing. It isn't even that much of a stretch for us in Seattle in 2014 to consider that the other person, the other religious, the other race, the other ethnicity, the other upbringing, it's not even hard to say they are our neighbors. But what Jesus wants from us is that we stretch our understanding of neighbor to be so wide that it includes our enemies. And that is something else entirely. And so maybe the question for us today is, who are our enemies? I think that's a harder question to answer today than it was maybe a few decades ago. During World War I, the Germans were our enemies, and in World War II, we added the Japanese to that. During the Cold War, the communists were our enemies. But in recent years, that defining line has blurred. We haven't had as many commonly held foes. The wars that we've engaged in as a country have not been received with as much enthusiasm and nationalism as they have in the past, and so they haven't resulted in a common enemy. Which still leaves us with the question, who are our enemies and who are our neighbors, and how are they the same? Certainly this week we might consider that Russia is a candidate for becoming an enemy, and we witness others who are enemies, Israel and Palestine, the Ukrainians and the pro-Russian separatists. These are very public cases in the news of enemies. Culturally, though, our enemies, I think, are perhaps best defined as those that we imagine to be working against what we are working for. Those that we imagine to be working against what we are working for. It's still an elusive definition. It's not cut and dried. But it's the best I've got. And this definition of our enemy is based in fear. Because when we live in fear, it is very easy to make the other become our enemy. The gap closes between what makes us uncomfortable and what fills us with rage. How else do we explain voracious protests against little children who are trying to flee to safety? Fear causes us to resist any kind of change, even change for the better. Fear fueled the Klan. Fear fueled those who resisted the rights of women and who still do so. Fear fueled those who followed Hitler during one of the darkest times in history. So, here is the problem with this model. This model of fear-based enmity is an equal opportunity model. It is very easy for me to stand up here and make the person who I believe to be working against what I am working for into my enemy, no matter what that person is doing and no matter what they believe. I don't know how many of you are on Facebook, but this week my good friend Mary posted very publicly on Facebook about a letter that had been written by the televangelist Pat Robertson. The Washington Post reported this letter, and in it, Pat Robertson disparaged the rights of women. My friend Mary posted her dismay about this letter, and my response to Mary and our exchange went like this. My response to Mary, me: Lord have mercy, that man is crazy. When he meets his maker in the next life, he will be thankful for her grace and mercy. Mary: unless she turns out to be black or gay, in which case he may choose to lock the gate from the inside. Me: I have long imagined that God will turn out to most resemble those people that we have been least tolerant of. So yes, for Pat Robertson, a gay black woman. But for me, probably someone resembling Pat Robertson. Mary: oh Lord, please don't tell me I am going to have to deal with the peroxide blonde wearing too much makeup for all eternity. Despite the lightness of our exchange, it captured the truth in Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. We are not all right, and we are not all wrong. And the moment we label one another as enemies, we take out the possibility for relationship. And so I, along with all of us, need to create the spaces and the opportunities and the times and the places for us to not only learn to love our enemies, but to learn to get to know them, to treat them as our neighbors. How do we treat our neighbors? Even the young lawyer in our gospel knew this answer. We love them even as we love ourselves. This is the good news, but the hard news in this story that shapes us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn of the day is hymn number 659.